Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, my name is Daniel Prilliman. I am the author of today's play that you are about to hear for a limited time only, The Bread Play. And you are listening to Gather by the Ghostlight.
All right, welcome back to Gather by the Ghostlight, original stories for radio theater. I'm Jonathan Cook, your host, producer, and sometimes voice actor on this thing. And I got a couple of announcements before we get started here. First off, we're going to be at the Southeastern Theater Conference this year. We're really excited about this. It's going to be in Mobile, Alabama, March 13th through the 16th. We're going to be in the Exhibitor Hall of the Convention Center, and we're going to be spreading the good word of Gather by the Ghostlight, and might even have a couple of cool announcements. So if you're there, if you're at SCTC, stop by, give us a high five, a fist bump, a hug, whatever you're into. We're excited to see you. Also, coming up very soon is our Season 4 finale episode as we prepare for the Off Broad Street Short Play Festival in Augusta, Georgia. Now, if you haven't seen the lineup of plays for this event, go check it out at the Gather by the Ghostlight website. We have a lot of amazing writers. It's going to be a great time, a great show, and we really hope to see you there. And now, I present to you today's story. This one comes from playwright Daniel Prilliman. Mr. Prilliman is a neurodivergent actor and writer based out of Ohio, and he has a fondness for absurdism, folklore, and horror. His play that you're about to hear is a romantic horror comedy called For a Limited Time Only. You are about to meet a couple named Arlo and Val. After getting the unlimited bread deal at an Italian restaurant, they're both stuffed and ready for the check. But their server doesn't bring them their check. He brings them more bread. He just keeps bringing them more bread. He won't stop. He won't ever stop. You see, the bread is unlimited, and there is no escape. Now, before we begin, I do want to warn you this story does contain adult language, sexual content, and violent situations. Now, gather around the ghostlight, sit back and enjoy. This is For a Limited Time Only, written by Daniel Prilliman, and be sure to stick around after the story to hear an interview with this writer.
Oh my God.
I am stuffed.
Me too.
I literally don't feel like I can get up.
Well, start making room. We're gonna have to leave eventually.
You don't think they'll, like, just let us stay here indefinitely?
Nope. You can only do that at home.
We can dream.
Can we?
Oh, yes. I long for the day when we can just sleep right in the restaurant.
I'm pretty sure you have to own the place to do that. And even then, you sleep on a different floor, like above it.
Can you not crush my dreams for just a minute?
Nope. Besides, you can dream better dreams than just being able to sleep wherever you want.
Can I?
Shut up.
Love you.
I love you too. Can you handle that last piece of bread? Because I don't know if I can.
Maybe.
Here, I'll finish it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
maybe I'm right.
It's like it's mocking us.
No.
It's sneering. Finish me.
Finish me.
I'm unlimited. Get your money's worth.
What are you doing?
I'm being the bread.
Why?
Mm.
We're They're in public.
We're the only ones here.
Hey, what time do they close?
I don't know. Hello again, folks. More bread? Bit stuffed.
More than a bit.
You aren't about to close, are you?
Oh, no, not at all. Looks like you two lovebirds have the place yourselves. Relax as long as you want.
You hear that?
Thanks. We can probably go ahead and take care of the check, though.
You sure? No dessert? Coffee?
Thanks. No. Just the check is good. Could not eat another bite.
You want a doggy bag for the brat? Don't want to let it go to waste.
You've got a point.
Sure. That's fine.
All right. Well, I'll just leave this fresh basket here while I go fetch that, just in case you find a little more room in the meantime. Get your money's worth.
They get it. $5.99.
It's hell of a deal.
Hell of a deal.
Oh, we should not have eaten this much.
Probably not.
The get your money's worth. That's how they get you.
Hell of a deal.
Hell of a deal. But it's gonna ruin the whole night.
Well, you're not having a good time?
No, I am. But it's all downhill from here. We're both gonna feel bloated and sluggish the rest of the evening. We'll get home and plop down in front of the TV to watch the latest episode of something we'll only pay attention to halfway because, you know, the other half is on our phones. We're not going to have any energy to do anything else because we just ate our weight in carbs. And you're also going to use that as an excuse around 11 o'clock to say that you're too lazy to fuck me. I'll say, well, you could just go down on me. And you'll make a pun which I won't laugh at about how you're still too full from dinner. And we'll wind up masturbating next to each other looking at our preferred style of porn. Lesbian BDSM for me, and foot shit for you.
Are you saying I don't go down on you enough?
Yes. But I'm also saying that I think unlimited bread deals cause more trouble than they're worth. I am digesting that idea now and forming that opinion.
I can go down on you more. I like it.
Do it. Right now.
What?
There's nobody here. Get under the table. I'm kidding. I mean, if you want to, I won't stop you.
Well,
you're too full from dinner.
Look, if this is a serious conversation, I want to take it seriously.
I'm kidding.
It's okay if you're not. You always say every joke has a little bit of truth.
I do say that. It's true.
You feel like I don't go down on you enough?
I said yes earlier. You haven't gone down on me since.
I can't tell if you're messing with me or not.
When in doubt, eat me out.
Oh, that's a personal conversation. Here is a to-go box for you, folks.
Thanks.
I hope I'm not overstepping my place, but I have to agree. If one's partner is not pulling their weight downtown...
Oh, okay.
Where's the check? The check?
You want the check?
We asked for the check.
You asked for the check?
We did.
Oh my god, you did? I am so sorry. Forgive me. I'll go get that right now. Be back in a jiff.
If it's that big a problem, I want to fix it, you know?
We definitely asked for the check.
What? Oh, yeah.
More than once.
You cut them some slack, honey. It's a stressful job. They just forget. It happens.
We're the only ones here.
Yeah, but it's the end of a long day. They've been on their feet. A bunch of other people also probably took advantage of the bread deal. It happens.
Yeah. Still annoying.
Fair enough. So, what do you want to do tonight? I mean, I can
go down
on
you. I want you to fucking go down on me.
Totally. I'm in. 100%.
Then maybe more bake-off?
Accents.
See, there's a good bake on this. Golden brown. Looks a bit half-eaten, though. Did you eat this before you brought it up here?
I did.
Why would you do that?
It looked good. I'm sorry.
Well, you should be. I don't like it. I love it.
Oh, thank God.
You're star baker.
Oh, thank God. I'm going to call my mum.
Oh, my God. Why did I eat that? Why did you let me do that?
It was for the bit.
Oh, why do you let me do things for comedy that I wouldn't do otherwise?
I don't know. I feel like I do a lot of things for comedy that I wouldn't do otherwise.
What is taking so long?
I'm having a good time.
I am too. I just don't like waiting.
They said to relax.
Is it just me or is this place more creepy than romantic? With no one else here?
It's lots of space for activities.
I'm just ready to go home.
Hey, folks, little bit of bad news. I'm so sorry.
What is...
We are actually having a little bit of a problem with our computer right now.
Oh, no.
I am so sorry, but your check is going to take just a little bit longer. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It happens.
Why'd you bring more bread?
Hmm?
You're holding more bread. Why?
Oh, for you, as an offer of apology.
Oh, that's... You really don't have to.
It's already made. No trouble.
We really couldn't eat another bite.
If you don't, it's going to go to waste.
Well, we'll eat it later if we don't now.
Okay, great. Well, I'll go check in that check for you. Again, I am so sorry.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that interaction was a little more strangely pointed.
Are they fucking with us?
No.
I think they're fucking with us.
If their computer's broken, they literally can't do anything, though.
I mean, is their computer broken?
Val.
I'm just asking, is it? We don't know. There's no one else here. Maybe this is how they get their kicks.
I highly doubt that's the actual case.
They could do the check by hand. Computers just make things faster.
Well, when he comes back, we can ask him that.
Do you have any cash on you?
Yeah, I have enough. We can ask him when he comes back.
Okay, thank you.
I'm having a good night.
I am too. I'm ready to be out of here, you know?
Yeah.
I'm ready to be home.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, thank you. I love you.
I love you too. What do you want to do with the bread?
Is there room in the box?
Not really.
Then we'll just leave it.
Yeah.
It's clearly not our fault if it doesn't get eaten.
Yeah.
We've made it clear we're full.
I know.
It's not on us.
I am so sorry, folks. Computer is still in the fritz, but I have more bread.
What the fuck? Why?
Hmm?
Why do you keep bringing us bread?
You order the unlimited bread deal, silly. $5.99.
Yes, but we're done eating. We're clearly done eating. We're not going to eat more.
If you don't, it will go to waste.
We don't care.
Val, come on.
Bring us our check, please.
I would if I could. I am so sorry.
Then write it by hand. We'll pay with cash.
I can't do that either. I'm so sorry.
Why not?
Because I can't bring you your check until you finish the bread.
What?
If you want your check, eat the bread. Looks like you two are still working, so I'll give you some more time. Just holler if you need anything.
Fuck this. Arlo. I don't know what's going on, but I am not staying here another minute. Come on.
Okay, yeah, this is weird.
Fucking leave the to-go box! Just come on!
It's gonna go to waste.
Arlo!
Right, yep, sorry.
This is ridiculous. Why the fuck did we even come here? What the hell?
What?
Where's the door?
What?
Where is the fucking door?
What the hell?
Where's the fucking door? We came in from there.
Yeah, we did.
Where's the... What the fuck is going on?
The door's gone.
Yeah, I can see that. What the fuck? What the hell? Fuck this shit. What the fuck? There are no fucking windows in this place. No windows. No doors. Oh my god. Where did every way out of here fucking go?
Can we get out through the kitchen?
We're about to find out.
Ah! I am so sorry, folks. Only employees are allowed into the kitchen.
What the fuck is going on?
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I have to ask. Can you tone down your language? The other customers!
Like, fuck!
There's nobody else here!
Is there? I'm just kidding. No, there isn't. But what is it you say, Val? Every joke has a bit of truth.
Let us out of here. Right now.
I'm afraid I can't do that. Not until you both eat your bread.
We're not eating any more fucking bread!
Ma'am, again, please tone down your language. I don't want to have to ask you again.
Or what?
Oh my god. Hey.
Or I'll cut down your tongue, Val.
Please put her
that
down.
That would make it much more difficult to eat the bread.
Please. We just want to go home.
You better start eating then.
Have you heard about the new unlimited bread deal?
Sounds expensive.
It's only $5.99.
$5.99?
$5.99.
Oh, fuck yeah!
That's right, unlimited bread.
Unlimited.
Here at the Italian Garden Factory, we give you all you can eat. Think we'll stop giving you bread like all those other restaurants? Hell no! For just $5.99, get unlimited bread with your meal. It's a hell of a deal.
Hell of a deal.
How? I mean, the Italian Garden Factory. When you're here, you're eating bread. So come on down and join us. We'd love to put a smile on your face.
Oh, God.
Oh,
come
on. I can't. Oh my God. I'm okay. I'm not gonna throw up.
And here is some more bread for you. You folks doing okay? You need any more Diet Coke? Oh, be careful. You don't want to have to eat it again if it comes off. Tastes a lot worse the second time.
Why are you doing this?
You ordered the unlimited bread deal. What do you think the word unlimited means? It means limitless, dear. Infinite.
Then how are we ever supposed to eat all of it?
I'll be back with some more in a little bit. Enjoy.
We can't keep doing this. We'll burst.
Should we try and call someone again?
Did you suddenly get a signal?
No.
Then no.
What do we do?
Okay. When he comes back, you distract him.
How?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just get him facing back toward the kitchen.
Why?
So I stab him from the back instead of the front.
What?
It's a bread knife, but it should do enough to give us time to run.
You're talking about killing him?
Wounding, at best, probably.
Val.
What other choice do we have?
But that's...
What?
That's violence.
Are you really debating ethics in this situation? Of all situations?
No, I don't believe in violence. I'm a pacifist.
Then you should be fine, since I'm the one doing the stabbing.
Val!
Everything okay out here?
Yep.
Okay, should be back with some more bread in just a bit.
Look, if you have any other suggestions, I'm all ears. But drastic and existentially surreal situations call for drastic measures. Do you want to get home or not, Arlo?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. What do I say?
Whatever you have to. Okay, here he comes. Let's do this.
And here is some more. I do hope you two lovebirds are enjoying your evening.
We are! So much!
Well, that's just great to hear.
That's great to hear that you think that's great to hear.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm fine. actually, I wanted to ask you a favor.
Anything. I'm here to serve. What can I do for you?
I was just wondering. We've had so much bread, you know?
I do.
And it's been great.
Our bakers are the best.
But I kind of want to mix it up as a surprise for my partner.
Oh, how sweet. Everything okay, Val?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Great. You were saying...
Yeah. Could I order a dessert?
Oh, that is so sweet. Unfortunately, our kitchen is closed right now.
What?
Our kitchen is closed.
But... Oh my God!
Come on, Arlo!
The kitchen is closed. Where's the bread coming from?
No. Fuck! No! It's just a brick wall. This kitchen... It's the size of a closet. What the fuck is going on? Oh, I'm dreaming. This is just a bad dream. This is just a bad fucking dream.
You're not dreaming.
Oh my God.
If
oh my
you
God.
Were dreaming, oh my... you would have eaten all this bread
oh
by
God.
Now. Oh, Arlo. I did warn you. I'll go get you something to scoop it up.
Fuck.
And a mint.
Arlo. What the actual fuck are you kidding me right now?
Should we try and call someone again?
There's no signal.
Can't you still call 911, even though you don't have service?
You have to at least have a signal. No signal means nothing, you dumb fuck.
Hey.
Hey, are you okay?
I have to poop.
Then poop.
Where?
I don't know. Pick a corner.
What?
What if they make me eat it?
How many days has it been?
I lost count.
You think anyone's looking for us?
Definitely. People notice when people just disappear.
Do they?
Yeah.
They're not gonna find us.
Don't say that.
It's true. I'm sorry I called you a dumb fuck the other week. Or however long ago it was.
It's okay. Hey. Gonna be okay.
How?
I don't know. But it is.
Hey, folks! Here's some more bread!
What? What? Val?
The cat's probably dead.
Good morning, you two. You're sure you don't want any more Diet Coke?
I want you to die the most painful death mankind could ever conceive.
Okay, well, there's no need to be rude, ma'am. I don't make enough to put up with your attitude.
You son of a bitch! I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Hey! You didn't have to do that!
Arlo, did you want a refill?
Is she okay?
Or ignore the question. That's fine, too. Fuck me, right?
It's Val.
Okay. Who got fired first? Me or you?
Definitely me.
Yeah.
Your job likes you more than my job likes me. Liked.
We should start working out.
What?
All these carbs. Try to slow the weight gain.
Right. You think we could order other food as time goes by? Will they do that?
When the kitchen is open, yes. But it will be added to your bill.
Where do you come from?
One, two, three, four.
No.
One, oh my God, Val, two. Are you okay?
Hey, it's okay. It was just a dream. It was just a bad dream.
I dreamt we were in this restaurant and they wouldn't stop bringing us bread and oh, fuck. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh.
Still want me to go down on you?
Right now?
What else are we ever going to do?
I mean, fuck yeah. Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I love you.
I love you, too.
Are you crying?
You don't taste like bread.
Oh. Hey, where'd you learn to spin me like that?
Watch where this happens.
Watch the chair.
Oh, my God.
This is fun.
You're surprisingly good.
You know, I forget how long it's been since I've danced.
Maybe the wedding?
Yeah, maybe the wedding, yeah.
I don't get it.
What?
What is this? Are we dead? Is this purgatory? Is it hell?
It can't be. If this was hell, we wouldn't be together.
Sure you would.
Your beard is starting to get really big.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Too big.
Aw. I kind of like it.
I do too, but moderation, you know? We should figure out a way to shave.
We?
Your face ain't the only beard getting big.
What? Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're not gonna sing, are they?
God, I hope not. Fucking hate it when he sings.
Is that a cake?
He lit a candle on a breadstick.
Fuck me.
Son of a bitch.
Happy, happy birthday from all the bread to you. Happy, happy birthday, may your wishes all come true. Hey, happy, happy birthday from all the bread to you. Happy, happy birthday, may your...
You're doing great, pal. You're doing amazing.
I know I am. Hold my hand tighter.
Okay, let's get this bun out of the oven. One more big push for me, okay?
Fuck you!
Congratulations. It's a girl.
Oh my God.
Can I hold it?
Of course.
Okay. I think she's asleep. What?
I had a dream last night.
Bad?
No. I mean, I guess it wasn't a nightmare, I guess.
You want to tell me about it?
Yeah. We were here. Still. In this place. But we had gotten old, like, really old. Ancient. Shouldn't have been alive, kind of old. We couldn't move by ourselves. The server was feeding us the bread like babies. Little airplane noises.
That's a comforting thought.
But we were happy, though. Content. I could tell. We were at peace. I don't know how, but we were.
What about the baby?
I didn't see her. This is all my fault.
What?
It's my fault.
No.
No, it is. You
Arlo.
Wanted to go to Olive Garden. I said no. All their Arlo. Food is frozen. Let's go to the Italian garden factory.
Arlo.
It's my fault.
Arlo, this is not your fault. Whatever this is, there is no possible way you did it.
I don't know what's going to happen next.
Neither do I. But we'll get through it together. Okay? Okay?
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
But I am sorry.
Don't be. Don't say that. We're trapped in some parallel bread world. Like, fuck being sorry. Fuck feeling bad. Fuck blame. Fuck bread. I can't. You can't put words to. You know what? If this is our life now, so goddamn be it. If we're gonna grow old and ancient as fuck in this claustrophobic, tacky-ass wallpaper excuse for a dining room, eating basket after basket of bread that isn't Texas Roadhouse, no matter how hard you wish it was. If our arteries fucking turn black and carbonate because of all the Diet Coke, if we never see our families again or hold our loved ones, if this is our life now, I'm not going to live it any less than the fucking fullest I can. We deserve that. Okay? Don't be sorry. Don't give them that.
Hey there, folks. Here's some more bread for you.
Thank you.
How are we doing with everything?
Good.
Well, that's great to hear.
What's with the chair?
To be perfectly honest, I've been on my feet for a while now. I just wanted to sit while we talked.
Talked about what?
Something has come up.
What?
As you're both aware, you had a child. Congratulations again, Mazel Tov.
Thanks.
And therein lies the root of our talk. If you recall, you both ordered 2 unlimited bread deals.
Yes.
Well, now there are 3 of you.
Does that... What are you saying?
It's time for one of you to go. You can't have 3 people taking advantage of 2 unlimited bread deals. Do you know how much trouble I would get in if I let that happen?
You mean go, like...
Good lord! No, no one's going to slit your throat with a bread knife. Go!
You mean just... go?
Yes.
Go?
Go, leave, depart the establishment. Go is the simplest phrase. I thought it would be clear.
Just go.
Yes, one of you needs to leave this restaurant now. Don't look at me with those faces on your faces. Nothing lasts forever, dears. This shouldn't be a shock to you. Well, except for bread, of course, but everything else. I'll give you a couple of minutes to decide.
You should go. You don't deserve to be
here. Neither do you. Look me in the eyes and tell me you would handle whatever the rest of this is better than I will.
I take offense at that.
That's exactly why you should be the one to go.
Oh, yeah? Well, I don't know what to say in response to that. But I'm not leaving, so I guess you better get used to the idea.
Arlo.
Because I'm not leaving. And if you're not leaving, then that only
We can't.
What if she was taken care of?
She would never know us.
But it would give her a life outside of whatever this is. Is it the most ethical option to...
Are you really debating ethics in this situation?
When else are we supposed to? I mean, it's either that or we...
What?
We order a third.
What?
We order a third bread deal. And we all stay together. Ethically, I know it's... I guess it's just as murky, but... I don't know. What do you think?
Do you remember when we first moved in together?
Of course.
I had gotten that job at the hardware store, and I was working all those hours while you were still at home every day, looking for places to apply.
A lot of good that English degree did me.
That was the first time we really spent a lot of time apart.
Yeah. I missed you.
I missed you.
I remember thinking every morning you walked out the door. Oh my God, what if that was the last time we ever spoke to each other? If some horrible accident happens, what if I lose her?
I mean, that's a little dramatic.
I can't bear the thought of being without you.
I love you too. Hell of a deal.
Hell of a deal.
All right, have you two decided? Or do you need a few more minutes?
Nah, I think we're ready.
Great! What will it be?
Scivola, scivola, come la pioggia scivola.
That was, for a limited time only, written by Daniel Prilliman. It was performed by Rochelle Simpson as Val, John D. Nelson as Arlo, Valentin Angel Fernandez as the server, and Jackie Floyd and myself as the advertisement announcers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so with me now is the author of the story you just heard. He's a neurodivergent actor, a writer, and a ginger based out of Northern Ohio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel Prilliman. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's I want to start off with the hard-hitting questions that I know everyone is wanting to hear. And
you got
it. So here we go. So if they were making a movie about you, who do you think Hollywood would choose to play you in that movie?
Oh God, that is not the hard-hitting question I was expecting. Let's see. I mean, it would have to be another ginger, most assuredly, if I had to guess. And if I was not cast in the role myself, which I don't know if you want to get into the whole meta trauma experience of playing your own self in your own biopic. I don't know if anyone's ever done that. let me see. You know, maybe Rupert Grint, just because he's the first ginger to come to mind.
Okay. I like it.
But
I like it. I could see a little Seth Rogen. Sure. If you gave like Seth Rogen some red hair and a beard, I think
that probably... too. Oh yeah. So we'll if I think of a better answer by the end of our conversation, I will let you know.
All right. So for real. So you've done a lot with theater. You're an actor. You've done. You eventually started writing plays, and
yes.
From what I found on the dark web, you've also done a lot of improv. So give us your writing journey of how you got started in theater and how you eventually started writing plays for theater.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got into acting first, which was my first love. And really, that was more the story of just I was shy as a child. But when I performed, suddenly people came up to me and spoke to me and were like appreciative and were like, hey, you did a really good job. Nice. And I was like, whoa, this thing like makes people like me. And I didn't have to talk to them first. This is what I want to do. Can I do this with my career? But no, over time, it was acting just became something that was a fun outlet for a shy kid who was always bad at small talk and developing his crippling anxiety into the amazing force that it would one day be. And over time with acting, you know, I went to University of Virginia and I did a BA program. I didn't get the F. I wasn't fine. I was, but that exposed me to all the other aspects. You know, we had to do costume tech. We had to run crew, do sound design. So I got a little bit of taste of everything that designers of theater also get to do. And I had always liked stories and was writing from a very early age, but it wasn't until about a couple years out of college that I realized that it was kind of dumb that I wasn't trying to also make it a part of my professional career, mm-hmm. bag of hats, so to speak. And so I started seriously trying to write plays with the intention of people doing them in about 2016, I think now. And we started from the bottom. Now we're still at the bottom, I guess. I don't know. And now we're here. So it's been a fun collection of years.
Yeah. And I mean, having started, you know, only since 2016, you have a lot of plays that you've written. You know, people can look at your new play exchange and see all the works you put out there. And and one of those plays people just heard, it's called For a Limited Time Only. Also known as the Bread Play.
Yes.
This is a new play exchange. It's highly recommended. A lot of people have commented. They've left good reviews. And what you took is you took three genres. You got romance, comedy, and horror. And you put them all in a blender. And you came up with this masterpiece of a story. So tell us what the heck you were thinking when you pushed the start button on that blender and came up with this idea.
I ask myself that question every day. Now, so I can tell you how this one started, from what I can remember, because we'll get back to this later, but I wrote this in smack dab in the middle of 2020, I think, like April, May, maybe June, but it started with an honest to God, just internet meme. I saw it was one of those, I tried to find it and pull it up, but I could not. So I'm sorry, but it was one of those, just like, you're at Olive Garden, the bread is coming, but it doesn't stop. And they did sort of like a small, like increment of like day, you know, three, it's flying out of the kitchen. Oh, everything is happening. And it like, this was like, a three screenshot meme or whatever, of like a progression of the bread just piling up and piling up. It gets into a little like cosmic horror territory. And I remember looking at it and going, that's a play. That's the one I play very easily. That could be okay. So I remember being very intrigued by what would actually be going through a person's head if that was happening to them. I'm a big fan of people reacting realistically to unrealistic situations and figuring out the human condition through that way. And so it was a lot of fun to write. And what wound up happening was my partner, whom I was living with at the time too, we were also in quarantine. What I didn't expect was how much of our own relationship, or like little jokes that we would make to each other or things that we would say, wound up in that script. Like the line, you know what you always say, every joke has a little bit of truth. My wife, spoiler alert, we got married, says that. She says that all the time.
Yeah.
And every joke has a little bit of truth. So it was like little bits like that would find their way into the script. And at the close of it, it surprised me how much the piece was not just its own sort of hodgepodge of all these different disparate, what you might consider disparate elements, but also turned into the story of just these people being trapped in this place, which turned out to be maybe a lot of subconscious writing about the quarantine itself that we were going through.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Inspiration can come into strangest places. Here you are. You found this meme of Olive Garden, mm-hmm. and you created a whole play idea. You know, it's so interesting hearing about stuff like that. And I love the way that you incorporated, you know, this classic horror trope of isolation and no escape. Mm-hmm. You know, you see this in a lot of scary movies, like, you know, Evil Dead, the bridge goes out, so they can't leave the cabin. And
yeah.
Night of the Living Dead, there are zombies outside, so they can't leave the house. And even in the movie Vivarium, this couple's stuck in this empty neighborhood and they just age endlessly in there, kind of like what happens in this one. But I like your fresh take on it, because, you know, it's a hell of a deal, and so they're there for a reason. They ordered these unlimited bread deals, and that's why they, yeah, you know, this literal unlimited bread deal, you're there until you eat this infinite amount of bread. So it's, I love the fresh take that you put on this trope. And you know, and so that, speaking of that slogan, hell of a deal, do you imagine this, mm-hmm. is this, do you want this open to interpretation, or is this hell for them, or is this a subdomain of hell, or what was you thinking with that?
My coy playwright answer would just be yes, to expound on it probably a little farther. I don't know. I love ambiguity. So it's like, if you think it's hell, that's great. If you think it's something else, that's also great. I mean, one of the things that I enjoy about ambiguity is that, especially for plays, since the intent behind the story is to, no production is ever the same twice, right? It's always different with a different group of people, different directors behind it, maybe a little bit of a different vision. And everybody's using that script as a blueprint in somewhat of a different way in order to get to the production that they wind up with. And that's the beauty, I think, of theater, is the little differences between all those little things. You can always sort of dig up something new. So in terms of ambiguity, I like it because it allows so much more room to play. If you do want to go that it's fully hell, you can do that and go full out with, you know, and put that into your set design, put that into your sound design. And if you want it to be sort of more like a Limbo-esque type thing, where it's, you know, a test of their patience or their ability to eat or their or a punishment for gluttony, what have you, there's all kinds of different routes that you can sort of play with it. So yeah, I don't know if that was a good answer.
No, that's a good answer. I like it. And I want to kind of touch on the server character for a little bit, you know, because mm-hmm. ultimately he's, I guess you would call him the villain of the story, but, you know, if you listen back to it or you reread the script, he really, mm-hmm. he only gets violent with them when they get violent first. You know, he's just doing his job.
Yeah. He's just doing his job.
And the only time that it gets dark is when they attack him. And in a way, the way you wrote it, it almost makes him not completely unlikable. He's, you know, especially by the end, even Arlo and Val start to accept what's happened to them. And, you know, he helps him with the baby and all this. And he becomes this sort of part of their life. I mean, was that, as you started the story, was that intentional to not make him this torturous guy, but, you know, or girl or whoever plays the role, but just to be an entity there that's doing his job, and, you know, he has to keep you there because you got to eat your infinite bread, you know?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, there are definitely, I don't know if I expected him to become as much of a fixture in their lives because he's the only other sort of entity that they have to interact with. But very much, I think from the beginning, it was definitely a role where this is a person who is doing their job. They know where they are in whatever hierarchy there is going on behind the curtain or kitchen. And their job is to sort of not necessarily be their tormentor, although maybe that's part of the job description, but he is the one in charge of their experience at the restaurant, if you will. And so it was a very fun thing to write in terms of, well, how is he going to react to this escape attempt? Or how is he going to react to being stabbed in the back? It was a lot of fun to sort of, anytime you're working with high concept stuff where you're get into surreal doors disappearing or skinamarinking, if you will, you got to have rules. Mm-hmm. And figuring out those rules is one of the more fun parts of writing for me, is just that world building and asking, because as you're writing, you just have to keep going, okay, what if, what is this allowed? Is this not allowed? And why? And if you can make that happen through any of the actions or the dialogue, that stuff just comes across, I think, more subtly during the, you don't question it as much.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. And towards the end, you came up with this clever loophole. You know, they only mm-hmm. ordered two bread deals, and then they have this baby, and now there's three of them. So one of them has to go. So was that your original idea for the ending of how that would wrap up, or did that just kind of come along, or what, do you have any alternate ideas of how this was going to end?
Probably. I definitely would probably say that's something that came probably halfway through writing it and figuring out that ending. Whereas sometimes, you know, there, as playwrights, you get advice every once in a while that is like, you should know the ending before you start. But sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And it's fun to figure it out as you're doing it sometimes, or at least in the first draft form, when I think, I don't know if it was Stephen King or if it was, or who to attribute the quote to, but it's a quote that it is the first time you are writing a draft, you're telling yourself the story. And then every subsequent draft after that, you're taking out all the bits that aren't the story. So that's the editing. And sometimes that the best ending or the ending that is most appropriate can sneak up on you just through how the characters are reacting to one another, how the characters are changing tactics in order to achieve their goals, in this case getting out or accepting their fate, whatever this is. And the last curveball in that then is the ending of, well, okay, one of you gets to leave, which one is it? And whoa.
Yeah, no, it was very, very well done. Unexpected, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden that scene comes up and you hear her struggling, like, oh my God, you know, she's having the baby, and it's like, oh my gosh, what happens now? So a lot of tension there with, you know, trying to anticipate what was going to go on. So very, very well done. So let me ask you, is there anything unlimited that you would accept in this situation? Not bread, just what if there is there something out there that if you were in this situation, that unlimited might be okay? I don't know.
You know, the one thing that I would say is, it's almost kind of like the question of, like, if you could eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be? Like, think carefully. I would honestly have to say probably tacos, just because they're so versatile. You can put them in a bowl without the tortilla. You can have them in a tortilla. You can have soft or hard, crunchy tortillas. The ingredient choices are endless.
And, yes, that's true.
You know, fish, chicken, beef, avocado. So, I mean, I think in terms of sheer versatility, that's what I would say, just because you'd probably get bored the slowest.
No, that
makes
sense.
You could always mix it up if you're feeling.
That makes
bread
sense.
Is just, if you're eating one kind of bread for the rest of your life, that's I can't think of the word, but samey. So not versatile, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
That would be my bad.
Yeah, to change it up to tacos, because eating just the same bread over and over again. But you know, with tacos, like you said, mm-hmm. Just change up the ingredients. You know, I kind of like your answer now. I like tacos
because I'm convinced.
Yeah, you did. You convinced me. So you're really active on the New Play Exchange, and I really like how you have your page set up, because in your description of yourself, you have it laid out of, you know, if you're looking for this genre, try reading this play or, and you have like, cause you have a long list of plays. So someone scrolling through, if they just read your description and they're looking for a certain type of genre, they can kind of go ahead and get a little short list of what plays to read first of yours.
Yeah.
And you have some great, horror pieces. You have Water Damage, Apothecary, Heartburn. I've read all these among others. But there's one that I'm going to read next. And it's called In the Slush. And you have it have it labeled as a cosmic horror. And I like that genre. And I've read the synopsis, so I kind of got an idea what it's about. It was also the 2023 finalist of the Princess Grace Award. But I want to hear your pitch on this. And why should I go read this script? And why do you want people to produce it?
It's my wife's favorite play of mine, actually. I'll say that. But the quick pitch of it is it's two editorial assistants who are just tasked with reading through their publishing house's slush pile, which is what you call that big stack of manuscripts, with the hope of trying to find something good. And one of the manuscripts that our main character encounters, however, is not a manuscript at all. Like, it's not poetry, it's not, you know, prose, it's not even a story. It's a letter written directly to her, telling her that she is not human, that her new baby, she's a newlywed and just got pregnant, is not a human baby, but basically the next incarnation of Cthulhu, or insert cosmic force here. And her husband is not the man that she thinks she is. And we go from there.
Man, that sounds, let me read that one tonight, actually. That sounds great. I actually, the way you described it, I actually like that better than when I read the synopsis. That sounds like an awesome play. Yeah.
I'll go work on that then. No. But yeah, that one came about just because I love the idea of two characters sort of, I'm a big fan of destabilizing moments in plays or for characters where, and I think that's just the kind of thing, is because I was an actor first, getting to play those kinds of moments are so much fun, where you suddenly, in a snap, everything you thought you knew about your life or your character changes, and then you just get to play the what if game again from there, in the same terms of that world building and that stuff. And so that one was very fun to write.
So as far as New Play Exchange goes, give me who is someone that you would recommend me go read? Not necessarily your favorite, but have you read anything recent that just like...
Yeah, I am always a huge fan. This, I think they actually just changed the list this morning, but it was Jillian Blevins' list. She just had a whole MPX list of feminist reimaginings and adaptations. And Jillian's a great writer in her own right. Definitely check her out. But the one play that was on it that I forever will sound the horn on is Ali Kantor's Blowhole, which is it's an adaptation of Lysistrata set in, I think, Edwardian, like, whaling era. And it's so funny, but it's also more so brilliantly written in terms of its adaptation choices. Like, I'll be honest, I haven't read Lysistrata. I only know what it's about.
Right.
Just because there's so many plays in the world, you know, the old Greeks were not they're not at the top of my reading list right now. But the choices that Ali Kantor makes in adapting it to the time period and making it its own story while also set in that classic sort of sitcom-esque almost plot line of the women are going to withhold sex from the men until they come home from, in this case, not the war, but whaling. And it's just, there's so many sight gags. There's so much fun wordplay. It's a brilliantly witty piece of theater, and it's I want to produce it, honestly, so bad. It's so fun.
That's good to hear. It's like, I mean, there's so much material on the New Play Exchange. I like little recommendations like this, you know, from straight from you or whoever, about new stuff to read. So that's awesome. So as far as your personal life goes, I hear that you're a D&D player. Are you a player or more of a game master? Do you tell the stories?
You know, I've always been more of a player of D&D, not of anything else, or rather, like D&D Pathfinder. I'm a player, in the sense of like I'm a player. I'm terrible at words. No, sorry,
it's all good.
Cut all this. No, but I've always been more of a participant and a player, just because a lot of my groups over the years, we haven't really ever gotten to play in person very much. So we were actually not using Zoom before it was cool, but doing virtual meetings before it was hip, if you will. And there are games that I would like to run one day, but it so far it's sort of just been like I haven't been able to get myself around to do the work of planning it all. And it's just slightly more of a commitment than I am able to make in sort of like a week to week or a bi-weekly basis. And it's also more of just, I've always enjoyed playing more than I think leading in terms of that kind of.
When you join with your groups like that, does it give you any sort of writing mm-hmm. ideas, just listening to the, you know, the role-playing stories or even your acting? Cause you know, if you're playing a character, does it help you with acting roles and all that?
I mean, like that role-playing really is also at its heart, just another kind of improv exercise or a way to, you know, and your DM is definitely your scene partner and sort of coaxing out of you or guiding, but then your game master or dungeon master is going to be providing all of those things that you as your character will be reacting to. And acting is reacting. So, I mean, granted, a lot of times most D&D groups are probably going to get a little silly or insert some, you know, humor into whatever the scene at hand is, but you can also totally, do serious improv and make dramatic choices. And that is always going to scratch that itch and sort of practice those muscles. You know, it's like an instrument, you know, the more you practice it, the more second nature it sort of becomes.
I've played a little bit of role-playing games growing up, and I've always liked that aspect of it, because, you know, I started out as an actor as well. You know, as you get into writing, it's like you're doing role-playing games and, you know, coming up with stories and stuff. It's like, you know, I can kind of work some of this into a play or whatever. But no, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So do you have anything coming up, like any plays or maybe you're acting on stage somewhere that people can go check out what you're doing?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't actually know if I've got anything that I'm allowed to talk about yet.
Yeah, that happens. That happens.
That makes it sound like I've got a lot more irons in the fire than I actually do. But it's just stuff that I either don't have a contract signed yet, or I'm still in kind of a negotiation period of when it's actually happening. And because I'm not sure, I don't yet want to put that out into the world quite yet. The past two summers, my wife and I have been performing at the Sterling Renaissance Festival in upstate New York, and we're hoping to be there again this year. So that would be this summer if you're in upstate New York at all. Whether we're there or not, definitely check it out if you like Ren Fairs, because they are amazing at what they do. The whole cast and crew up there, they're so wickedly funny, and they're a great time.
And where's the best place for people to find you, your website, or are you active on any social media or anything like that?
So I actually just quit Twitter, or X, if you will, purely for my own mental health. It's been great. I am on Instagram, I believe, as Living Dead Playwright, which is a wink wink to my affinity for horror, I suppose, if you will. But I've got a Facebook page under the same name. And then I've also, if you're on NPX or the New Play Exchange, I'm there. And I've got my website as well, which is just www.danielprilliman.com.
Awesome. Well, hey, man, thanks for letting us do your play.
Thanks for doing it.
I hope you enjoyed it. And we had a great time with it. But you know, just
awesome.
Keep creating, doing all that cool stuff you do. And next time I have you on, we'll talk about In the Slush, because I'll have it read by then. And can't wait to dive into that one.
I will be eager to hear your thoughts. There's a lot to unpack with that
one. All right, man, take it easy.
Awesome. You too. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you all for listening. And if you are associated with a theater and you would like to produce the play you heard today on your stage, send an email to gatherbytheghostlight@gmail.com or contact the playwright directly at his website, danielprilliman.com. And if you'd like some cool Gather by the Ghostlight merchandise, t-shirts are available at the merchandise link in the show notes. And you can also find the Gather by the Ghostlight annual companion books available at Amazon. Intro and outro music, as always, is provided by artist JK47. And if you enjoy this podcast, maybe you're a longtime listener, or maybe this is the first episode you've ever heard, let us know. Please leave us a rating or a review in all the places that you can. And also be sure to follow Gather by the Ghostlight on social media to stay up to date on new episodes. I'm Jonathan Cook. And as always, stay safe, and I'll see you next time we gather by the Ghostlight.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.